What is said in scriptures, where there are two or three gathered in my name, he is here in our midst. And that's the comfort that we need to take. And we live streaming, and I want to welcome all those who are live streaming this morning to be a part of our worship this morning. We're glad you're a part of this, and it's a blessing to be able to offer that service, to be able to live stream, especially in these time and ages and difficulties that we are having. You know, Russ has been preaching for several weeks now about faith warriors. He's been preaching through in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the hall of fame of those who have been faithful to God. A whole list of names that is in there. You know, Moses and Abraham and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and David. But you know, how did they make the hall of fame to be in Hebrews and for them to be mentioned like that? I want you to take something in consideration. Because what I've learned from Russ and these lessons that we so need right now, his timing is perfect, God's timing is perfect, because we need to be faith warriors, do we not? But as he brought forth these lessons and he talks about these individuals, we find out these individuals are just like us. They face turmoils, trials, and tribulations just like we did. They made mistakes. They had struggles with sin just like we had struggles with sin. And they faced all the same difficulties, but they were able to be mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So how do we become faith warriors? Russ has given us example after example that we can follow in encouraging us throughout the weeks on this. But I want to bring to you this morning something that's the key to all of this, to become a faith warriors. That was read earlier in Luke chapter 6. It was only 3 verses long. But it has the key for us to be able to become faith warriors and be mentioned in that day of judgment that we were good and faithful servants. I want to read Matthew, because I want to read the two accounts that it comes from. I want to read from Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will like unto him a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it. Those short verses has the key to everything that we need to know about what we read in scriptures. And that's what I want to go over this morning for us to focus on. He read it in Luke, Chuck did, and I greatly appreciate it, but there's a couple things I want you to pull out of Luke. It says in the beginning of this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do which things I said? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I show you whom he is like. He is like a man who builds a house, who digs deep and lays his foundation on the rock. He digs deep. We're going to bring that up a little bit. What's the importance of that? He also talks about in Luke, in this version, about the foolish man built his house upon the earth. I want to bring that point out in a little bit. And it also talks in this verse that he read about he was not shaken. These are things that we need to realize in these just a few short verses. So the wise man and the foolish man, who are they? Who are the wise men and the foolish men? Let me tell you who they are. They're you and I. He's not talking about those who are out there who are lost in sin. He's talking about Christians. I don't know if you realize the focus on that, but he's talking about those who call me Lord, Lord, and says that. But he wants a set of Christians he calls wise builders. On the others, he calls foolish builders. So there are all of us that are in this room and who are watching us on live stream that affects them. That's who he's talking to. So we have those who are doing what they're supposed to and those who are struggling. In Luke chapter 6, which was read earlier, verse 46 tells us, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" So he's telling us it's us that he's talking about. Christians, the ones that are in this room this morning, the ones that are watching the live stream this morning. You go to Matthew to prep you before we read about the wise and foolish builders. This is what was said. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 21 and 23 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, on judgment day, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?" Verse 23 says this, "And then I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You know what this tells us, brothers and sisters? Just because we're here this morning, just because we're taking the Lord's Supper, just because we're putting a little money in the contribution, just because we go out there and proclaim that we're Christians, does it not make us a wise builder? Does not make us who we need to be for Christ? Just showing up here is not enough. Just saying you're a Christian at times is not enough. And I don't think we realize that. So what makes the difference? If it's just saying, if I come in here and come to church every Sunday like I'm supposed to, do all the acts of worship like I'm supposed to, what makes the difference? It comes down to faith. Your faith in the Lord. And when we're going to talk about this a little bit more, this is referencing Luke chapter 8, verse 25. If you remember what Luke chapter 8, verses 25 is when the disciples and Jesus went across the Red Sea, and Jesus went on to sleep, and a great storm came about. Just like we talked about the wise builder and the foolish builder, a great storm's coming, comes about. Jesus is asleep. The disciples are scared to death that they're going to perish, and they wake up Jesus and say, "Lord, Lord, why are you asleep? Because we're going to drown. We're going to perish." And you know what he asked him? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? They have the Son of God right there with them. And he just asked them where their faith is. Let me tell you about my God. In Psalms chapter 107, verse 29 tells me this. He stills the storms to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Not only can he do that physically, not only can he take the seas and bring them to a whisper, not only can he bring the waves to a hush, but he can do those spiritual storms that we face. So we talked about this morning, the perfect follow-up for what we had this morning is he's able to address anything, take care of it. No matter what's going on out there, our Lord can take care. We need not to worry about the pandemic, or we need not to worry about the elections or the turmoils in the United States or the turmoils that's going all across the world, because our Lord has the ability to take care of it. We are told the storms are coming. But it's how we are preparing for the storms that's the key. The pandemic was coming one way or another. The election's coming one way or another. But God's in control. God has the ability to whisper anything that's going on. He can take that pandemic and hush it right now. He has that ability. That's what my God can do. And Psalms 89, 8 through 9 tells us this, "And you are Lord God, all powerful. No one is as loving, as faithful as you are. You rule the roaring sea and calm the waves." He can do all that for us as Christians. When those storms come, we got to realize that he can take care of that. That's one aspect that you need to realize this morning, the power of your Heavenly Father, what he's able to do. But let me tell you something about faith that maybe you don't realize. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. You can't have faith without obedience, and you can't have obedience without faith. Because that's the key that he's talking about. That's how we build our faith, is through obedience, through his word. Because he tells us in John chapter 14, verse 21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he is that loves me. And he that loves me, beloved of my Father." You got to follow his commandments. You want to have faith and you want to be strong in the Lord, it's faith and obedience. This teaching that's out there right now that's so widespread, it says all you got to do is believe. This tells us that's far from the truth. They go side by side, hand in hand. You ever rode a bike and you pedal that bike? You ever tried to ride a bike with one pedal? It don't work too well. When you push down on faith, obedience comes up. When you push down on obedience, faith comes up. And that what moves you as a Christian. So you want to move forward as a Christian, you've got to push down that faith followed by that obedience. Follow that obedience with faith. That's what it takes. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it tells us this: "Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleships to all the people from every and all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." You can't have one without the other. We got to be faithful Christians. No matter what we're going through, no matter what trials and tribulations we're facing, we have to be obedient to our Father. John 14, we read 14:21 earlier, but a little bit further, it tells us this in John 14. John 14 tells us, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with him." You got to obey. Let's talk about this digging deep. I like that in Luke. It kind of stuck out to me when I was doing the studying. When you dig deep to get to the solid rock that make you strong, that's what helps you through these times of storms and trials and tribulations. Brothers and sisters, where you got to dig deep? If you're not digging deep in this as much as you can to find out what God expects from you, you're not hitting solid ground. You're not hitting the rock. You got to dig deep. You got to be willing to get into God's word and do his will. Because we're told in Luke, if we dig deep and put our foundation on Christ or on the rock, we won't be shaken. This is what it said in Luke that we was read earlier. "He is like a man who builds a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods came, the house was not shaken." What is the rock? Our rock is Christ Jesus. And this is the key. This is the key. He's the solid rock we stand. We sing that song. And all the songs were this morning that were led were awesome. They fit right into this morning's lesson. Christ is our rock. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 and 15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If a man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, cobblestone, wood, hay, straw, work will be shown for what it is, because the day will begin to bring to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire the testing of the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If what is burnt up, he will suffer a loss. Himself he will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if we don't build our foundation on Christ on our everyday life, we're going to suffer losses. We're going to have struggles, because there's only one foundation, and that's through Christ. Only one foundation that we can build through. Jesus is the cornerstone. 1 Peter 2, verse 7 tells us this: the stone the builders rejected and became the chief cornerstone. Back in the day when they built a house, that cornerstone was the key. It determined if that house was level, if that house was going to stand, that when you set that first cornerstone on that house. Matter of fact, a lot of builders mark the date, the year, and stuff because of how significant that cornerstone is. And that's what Christ is for us. He's our cornerstone in our life. If he's not the cornerstone, then our life is off kilter. Our life is all messed up. It will not stand because it doesn't have the proper cornerstone. And there is not a better cornerstone than Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We can't make a cornerstone any better than what Christ has given us. Our foundation of faith. We were talking about it this morning, about having faith in God. Our foundation in faith is built on that cornerstone, and it should affect every part of our lives. It should affect our family. Christ, that means Christ needs to be our cornerstone to our family. The cornerstone of our joy that we were talking about this morning. Our hope. When we go to work. Our everyday life. If Christ is not a part of each and part of every day of our life, then we're going to have kilters in it. The foundation's going to crumble. When the storms come, because we know they're coming, we're not going to be able to withstand them, because we didn't build our foundation where it needed to be. Why is that so important? Why is Christ and being a part of our everyday life so important? Will you be ready for your storms, as we talked about this morning? Will you be ready for what's going on and out there in the world? Are you ready for those things? Because it's going to come. There's no stopping it. Because this world here is only temporary. That's what we need to understand. If we're going to make it through this world, we need to understand that we got to put our focus on Christ. And that comes with obedience and faith. Because what happens, you know, in Luke it says, and I like that the version in Luke, it says, built a house upon the earth. You know, if we build our house upon the earth, if we get along to get along, as Russ was talking about just last week, if we kind of follow what the world does, if we kind of depend on the world for our strength and our faith, and our abilities, when the storm comes, this is what's going to occur. This world is going to fail us. This world is not, we're not going to stand it. Because look at the world and the shape that it's in right now. But as Christians, we don't have any of that to worry about. You know, it comes down to this. Truly comes down to this. We brought it up a little bit this morning, is where are you going to be on Judgment Day? Is Christ going to come to you and say, I never knew you? Or is he going to ask you, where were your faith at? Or is he going to say, why didn't you obey me? Why you call me Lord, Lord? Are we going to try to say, well, Lord, on that day, I did many great things in your name. I prophesied in your name. I did many wonderful works in your name. Or is he going to call us good and faithful servants because we were obedient? You know, it's hard right now in today's time and age. We got a lot of reasons to kind of take and pull back as Christians. You know, we got a pandemic going on out there. So, Lord, I can't really do a whole lot. I got to keep this word to myself. But no matter what's going on out in this world, we're still on a mission. We still have an obligation. We still have a responsibility as Christians. We can't let this pandemic or the way the world is going through and pull ourselves apart and say, I'm going to hold on tight to this word to myself. We have a responsibility for those people out there to let them know what it takes to be saved. Let them know there's only one way. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. But if we, just like Russ was talking about last week, get along to get along, we're just going to kind of be quiet. But that's not obedience. You stuck in believing in God, and that bike is stuck there. That pedal's stuck there with faith. You got to push down on that faith to bring that obedience up. When that obedience up, you do what the Lord tells you to go out there and preach and teach the gospel and let people know what is going to happen. We have that responsibility. But Satan wants us to be scared. Satan wants us to pull back and not to do God's will. He wants us to hold on our bike and hold on to that pedal right where it's at. I believe in the Lord. Let me tell you something. Faith alone is dead because Satan believes in the Lord. If you're not out there doing his will and his responsibility, then you're not getting anywhere. That bike's not moving forward because you've got to push down on faith and push down on obedience. So what we got this morning is we got each and every one of us who are in this room and who are watching this live stream, we have an obligation to find out if we are truly being faithful to God by being obedient to God. You want to be faith warriors? Grab that Bible and be obedient to the Lord each and every day. You want to be faith warriors, and like it was mentioned in Hebrews, you need to follow his will when it comes to your family, when it comes to work, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your hope and joy. You need to rely on him and not on yourselves. Right now, I know that's a big struggle. I know that a lot of people are facing that. You know, if you're watching this video or if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it tells us in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know what that is? That's faith and obedience. That's the act of faith. I believe in God and what he says, and I'm going to obey him, become baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But if you're going through any struggles this morning, you're having difficulties this morning, and you're wondering how you're going to get through the next day because you're so busy, like Peter did, focusing on the storm and took your eyes off Jesus when he walked on water. If you're having that difficulties where you've taken your eyes off what the Lord's asking you to do and looking at that world, we're here to help you because I'm telling you, this room is full of faith warriors. You got Dale, and we'll come up here shortly. And Wesley will be leading songs, but we have great elders in this church that leads this church in a right direction. They'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. If you're out there and you're not a Christian, you just text Dale. Wesley will be leading songs, so it might take him a couple minutes to respond to it. But if you text either one of them, we'll respond to you. And if you want to become a Christian, we'll do whatever it takes because we want you to be not only faithful to God, but obedient to God. You know, this is a hard thing. Those three verses are demanding so much out of us. It's easy to believe, but sometimes it's hard to put that belief into action. But that belief is dead if it doesn't have that action. So we need to examine ourselves each and every day to see if we have that bike moving forward. Pushing down on faith, bringing up obedience. Pushing down on obedience, bringing up faith. And moving forward as Christians. Even in a pandemic, even in this all the turmoil that's going on in the world, we still have the obligation to become and be Christians and do our Father's will. Let us not be afraid. Let us stand for the Lord. Let us not be the get-along type Christians, as Russ has been preaching. Outstanding lessons he's been doing. He'll be back here next week with more, and I'm looking forward to it. But if there's anything you can do now, I want you to come now as we stand and sing